Let's come before the Lord and humble our hearts that He would open His Word to us.
Father, we love You so much. And God, I pray, Father, as John the Baptist would. Father, that I would decrease and You would increase and everybody in this room the same. Father, we know that You're here with us tonight. God, we thank You so much for the work You're doing. God, I ask You to anoint Your Word, Father. You'd hide the one that would give the message, God, but You'd illuminate Your Word to our heart tonight, Father, as You are the light. You would bring light to those dark parts of our heart tonight. You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit, God, and You would have Your sovereign work, Lord, to do here tonight, Lord. You would save those, Father, that wouldn't know You, God. And those of us that know You, Father, You would save us, Father, and bring us closer, sanctifying us every second of the way, bringing us, Lord, in a more intimate and loving relationship with You. We thank You so much for Your grace, Lord, and Your mercy. We bless You and worship You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, just a little something about John. John was the disciple of Jesus, to be the apostle of Jesus as Jesus walked around. Now, the Gospel of John was not written probably about 40 to 50 years after Jesus Christ already resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. The Gospel of John was very fluent, or the other three Gospels, which are called the Synoptic Gospels, meaning to see the same. That's what synoptic means. And the Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. And they were already fluent in the churches at that time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find they seem to be a lot alike. They seem to just tell the story, the historical story of Jesus Christ. John comes from a whole different point of view. Same story, same Jesus, all is true. But John comes in a spiritual way. John comes in such a deeper way. You see, these other three Gospels at this time, they were fluent in the church. In fact, John has read them himself, church history says. And he bore witness to their truthfulness. And John writes in a whole different view, because at this time there was heresy coming in the church. There was a heresy saying John the Baptist is equal with Jesus. So that's why we'll find in the beginning how John the Baptist says, "Let me decrease and Jesus increase," there in chapter 4. We'll find how John says, "No, I'm not the Christ." And how John is pointing to John the Baptist, that is, pointing to Jesus. We find with John was very intimate with the Lord when he walked on earth with him. He's called the beloved of Jesus. He's called the beloved one 5 times. In fact, in his gospel, wouldn't you figure, he calls himself the beloved. Pretty funny, I think. Before Jesus came along, John was a businessman. It seems there in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, that he had a fishing business with his brother and his father. And Jesus came along and they gave it up. They had hired servants. So John was a businessman. John also owned a house, we're going to see. John was also acquainted with the high priest. John was a religious man. And he was a disciple of John the Baptist. So he was a very religious man and seeking the things of the Lord. See, John's no different than me and you, maybe a business guy. He lived in a normal house. He sought the Lord. He wanted the things of God, and he was just searching like we are. John is no different. We put people on pedestals sometimes. You guys, it's just a man that met Jesus, that was very intimate with the Lord, that knew him radically. You guys, I want to encourage you tonight to really listen up. I encourage you guys throughout the week to study the Gospel of John, to prepare your hearts for what the Lord would speak to you, to study yourself, because you see, when your heart is equipped, when you've looked at the text we're going to cover, you come, your mind has got questions already. Maybe some of them are answered, maybe some aren't. Maybe you'll have to come up to me afterwards and hit me up. Maybe you'll just have to go, I'll just say, "Well, why don't you find that one out?" And I'll tell you, you'll search it out. Let us be studiers of the Word of God, that we would grow thereby, that we would grow in the Word of God. John seemed to be a man that had a little temper problem. Jesus called him the Son of Thunder. Jesus gave him that name in Mark chapter 3, verse 17. He was a guy that wanted to call fire down on the Samaritans. He was a guy that when other people were casting out demons in the name of Jesus, he got mad. He said, "I can't do that." He was a guy of zeal and fire. John was radical. You know, in the early church, John was called the theologian, not Paul.
See, John was so simple but so profound. The Gospel of John in the Greek that it's written in and the language that it was scribed in is the simplest Greek form written. They would give it to children for school to learn. It's the easiest. Now, Paul, on the other hand, Paul the Apostle, man, he's confusing. Peter even says that. He confuses me all the time. I got to study like 10, 20 hours to get a scripture on Paul's. John was simple. John's gospel is written to the world. John's gospel is written for some purposes. John's gospel is written that we would know the Christ, the Son of God. Turn to John chapter 20, verse 30, if you would, with me. And we will see. Now, when an author of the Bible gives us the purpose of the book that he's writing, you see John has a focus, a vision, and a purpose to write. John chapter 20, verse 30 says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." First of all, John is saying, I'm not going to share every sign Jesus did. Now, that word sign is interesting. For you see, sign is more than a miracle. A miracle is a healing. A miracle is a miraculous thing done by God. A sign is a miracle carrying a message. And we find this clearly through the Gospel of John. All the way through, when Jesus did signs, he would preach a message right after. When he healed the blind man, he would say, "I am the light of the world." The blind man would say, "All I know is I was once blind, but now I see." John's gospel is a purpose to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. John has a beautiful purpose in this gospel. This word sign is so beautiful. You see, all four gospels tell us about the account when the little boy got the fish and the bread and Jesus fed the multitudes with it. He did a miracle. But only John records the sermon of Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." You see, John records these things for a purpose. And here's our purpose. Remember that not all signs that he did are written in this book. Verse 31 says, "But these things are written." These things in this book, in the Gospel of John, are written for a purpose. These things are written that you may believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. First of all, John is proving, because of heresy coming through the church, saying Jesus really didn't come in the flesh. Jesus was like a phantom. A Gnostic heresy came through the church saying there was even a myth that when Jesus walked on the sand, he didn't leave footprints. He was like a ghost. That's why we find in 1 John how John's proven the deity of Jesus Christ. That's why this book is so exciting as we come into it. John has got a purpose, and we must have this mind as we go through the whole gospel. The purpose of John. "But this is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Son of God." Now, this word "son" all through the Bible, when it's used of Jesus, is never, in the Greek, never used as a born one. As a son born from a mother. Always used as a son as an heir. As an inheritance of what his father owns. We're going to see clearly that Jesus proclaims that he is the very God. Philip said to him in chapter 14, "Show us the Father and it will satisfy us." Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." We're going to see tonight right here in the opening chapters that Jesus is definitely the God of gods, the creator of all. He says, for another reason, he says, "And that believing you may have life in his name." You guys, this word "believing" means to believe, means to put your trust in, to put your full assurance on. It's not just an intellectual knowledge, but it's a heart commitment. We must have a heart commitment and we will have life. This word "life" means you will never die. Like Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, he shall live." Every one of you tonight here that are born again and love the Lord Jesus Christ because he's so good. And he's just so radical in my life. I don't know about yours, but he's done so much in my life. And if he never did another thing, that would be fine. I could just worship him for what he's done, saving me from the eternal pits of hell, touching my life and letting me know him intimately. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. And in believing him, I've got life. But notice believing. Continue believing. Every day I believe more and more and I get more life. Jesus says here in John,
I've come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. It's beautiful what Jesus is doing in my life and through my life and in your life today. Just in the last 2 weeks, I could say I've drawn closer to my Jesus, closer to my Lord and Savior, the one who redeemed me. He's so good, you guys. Let us wake our minds tonight. Let us open our hearts tonight and receive what the Lord has. Now, you see, we find here in the Gospel of John, we find the word son 52 times. These are going to be words you need to look for. We find the word son 52 times. If we find the son, we always will find the father. We find the father 127 times, more than all the New Testament put together. You see, when you meet the son, you will know the father, and in knowing the father, you will find God. For we find the word God 77 times. And you guys, as we find Son, Father, and meeting the God that's behind both of them, we find the word Lord, and it's in there 44 times. You see, when you meet Jesus the Son, and you know the Father, you intimately will walk with God, and He will become your Lord. And we find the word Word, that's a very key word, 35 times here. You guys, it's beautiful. We find the word Life 42 times. You guys, you see, when we know the Son, we will know the Father. We will know God Almighty, and we must then make Him Lord of our lives. Making Him my Lord and my Savior, and in His Word I will find life, and that life more abundantly. It will be the very food to my soul, and that life I will find in Him. But the word believe we find, you know how many times we find it? We find it 92 times. 92 times we find the word believe, because in believing we may have life. We can know about Jesus the Son, and know about the Father, and know all about God and His creation, and know about the Lord Jesus, and know about His Word, and know about life everlasting, but unless we believe, we will have none of it. Tonight we need to open up our hearts and receive from the Lord Jesus. We found the purpose of the book. The purpose is to prove Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the very God. And we understand the word Son does not mean born from God, but it actually means the very God, an heir of God, as we find in other parts of the Scriptures. So let's jump right in. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Oh, this is beautiful. It says, in the beginning. Now, this word beginning doesn't mean in the very beginning of time, but before time began. It's not back there in the time of creation in the beginning. Because it's in the continuance in the Greek. It could read like this. In the beginning was the Word continuing, existing in eternity. And in the Word was God continuous. And in the Word was God continuing. Continuing. It wasn't a time of period that this happened. In the very beginning of the realm of time, where I can't tell you where it started. We don't know. It's in eternity. It says that the Lord's ways are past finding out. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. We notice now it's not just God, but there's two people. There's two persons. We understand, if you've been around the church at any time, if you studied the Word at all, it's called the triunity of God. It's the Trinity. And we find here, this is one of our bases for the Trinity, that we have two people. We have two persons, but one God. It's clear right here. In the beginning was the Word. We find in verse 14, the Word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it can be literally translated, and God was the Word in the Greek. And God was the Word. You guys, before time began, we could go back to Genesis right now, and we could think about this. It says, in the beginning, God created. Elohim in the Greek. The singular for Elohim is El. Not in the Greek, in the Hebrew, excuse me. The singular for God, right there in that text, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it's the word Elohim in the plural form. You see, it's Jesus that was back there creating it. We're going to learn it right now. It's Jesus. You say, this Trinity, I just can't understand it. I just can't grip it at all. You know what? I can't understand it completely, but I do know one thing. I love it dearly. It's everything in my life, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, how the Father is in heaven, how the Son came and made redemption for me that I could live for eternity, and how the Holy Spirit now is working in me in my everyday life, causing me to live for God. And they're one, and they're all working together, and they're so infinite, and they're so big, and I'm so finite, and I can't understand it. I live on a little speck of dirt in the universe. You guys, it's God. There's one way, there's one analogy that doesn't really do it good service, but it's probably the best we have. In a test tube in a laboratory, they took water, H2O. They put it in a test tube, and they could make ice, steam, and liquid water, H2O, all at one time, but all containing in one. You see, they were all there at once, but they were all different persons, but not different substance. That's exactly how it is. You could melt them all down, and they all become water again. You see, and that's exactly how God is. He's so big. Who knows the mind of the Lord, or who can instruct him in his ways? Who could be his counselor? None of us. That's what the scriptures say. It says his ways are past finding out. For he's infinite and I'm finite. All I know is I got a pea brain. That's all I know. And God is so big. If I could figure God out, he wouldn't be big enough for me to worship. For me to fall down on my face and worship him. So we find this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. He was in the beginning with God. He was. Who? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. Yes, he was there all eternity past. You can take and go back in time and just keep on going back and back and keep on going and going and going, and you'll never find where it started. It's eternity. It's something that I'm going to experience one day. So are you. Oh, either to judgment or to eternal life with the Father. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. This is beautiful. All things were made through Jesus, and without him, nothing was made that was made. The word all means individually all things. It's like if you guys are all in this room, I say I'm going to meet with you all Thursday night. But what I really meant was, I'm going to meet with each one of you individually. Each one. That's what he did when he created all things. Individually, he created everything. For he's a personal God, as we're going to see. It's so beautiful. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. This is a big God. Really big. Too big for me to figure out. But there are some things I can tell you tonight. I can tell you that back there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, God is speaking and he says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Genesis 1, 26. Who's he talking to? Let us? Is he talking to the angels? Well, some would say so, but this text would clearly say no way. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. All things were made through him and without him. No man was not created without him. And when the Father was speaking, he was speaking to him and the Holy Spirit, the triunity. It's undeniable. If you try to deny it, you've got to throw the Bible out. It's so radical and it's so real. You say, that's theological. I want to tell you it's very practical. Very practical for your everyday life. Let's think for a minute. As I was coming back from Oregon, I'm driving down the 5. I'm going over by Lake Shasta. And it's about 6:30, I think, in the morning. The snow caps of the mountains, they are so beautiful. I can't even imagine. I'm looking and I see the sun arising behind them. And I see the trees sprinkled with snow. I see the lake so deep, so blue, but I see it so beautifully pictured there. As I see the gorgeous majesty of God. As you guys, as we would look across creation, we would see the deep green forest. We would see the majestic mountains. We would see sunsets and sunrises. We would see beautiful things. We would see the rolling green hills. We would see God himself. himself, Jesus, when nothing was made without him, cutting into the mountains the very rivers, putting the waterfalls in their place, making a beautiful atmosphere for us to live in. It's Jesus. Did you see the sunset tonight? It was Jesus who made it, because the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, it says, by him all things were created. Everything. Let me read it for you real fast. It's too good to pass up. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or are held together. He created it all. Yeah, that means he created the devil himself. Principalities. No, the devil's not equal with Jesus, and he's not the brother of Jesus, as some would teach. No, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus isn't Michael the Archangel, as some cults would teach. Jesus is the Son of God. You guys, he's the creator of all, and in him all things consist. The word there means to be held together. He holds the very atmosphere together right now. At this very moment, as he would let go, it would dissolve in a fervent heat, like 2 Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says it melts, and it's gonna one day. You guys, we aren't serving a weak Lord. This is Jesus. He's the creator of all. Now, why do I say the Trinity's practical? Because he's living in me according to the Trinity, according to the third person, the Holy Spirit, living and dwelling within my being. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I don't have to fear man. I've got God in me. He can make a sunset. He can make a sunrise. He can do whatever he wills. He's the living God. And he desires that not one of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is such a loving God. You see, as I look at a painting, I can find the mind of the painter. If I look at a painting and it's wicked and hard and black and ugly, I see the guy that was painting it must not have been too happy. He must not have had too much life in him. You see, as I look at the painting that my Lord left me, I see beauty. I know his heart is beautiful, but you see, he didn't stop there. As we're learning right now, he came and he showed me who he was. He's the living God who died for my sins and rose again on the third day. It's Jesus we're talking about, and he's not a little God. He's not just this little weak God. Oh, maybe he's going to win over Satan. They're tug-of-warring. Oh, no. He is above all things, and in him all things consist. He is the authority of the creation. He is the authority of my life and your life. He is the authority of all men, and he is long-suffering right now. And judgment is going to be poured out upon this world. But he has made a way for man to escape that judgment if we would just turn to him and we would walk with him and we would go after him. If we would lay our lives down and we'd pick up our cross and follow Jesus, we would repent of our sins. He would take us to be with him. He's a very loving God. That's why he hasn't poured out wrath on this world and taken us home, us of his children. He's so beautiful. I don't even know where to begin with the Gospel of John. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. In Jesus was life. As he breathed life into the nostrils of man, back there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, he breathed life. But you see, man sinned. Every one of us has. We died spiritually to that life, and now we remained with darkness. But he is life. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. You see, as a man is born again, as Jesus' disciples, we must learn as we're studying these Gospels, we're not born again when they walked with Jesus. They were not born again until the resurrection, and Jesus says, receive my Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them, it says. Just as he breathed life into man that day, but that man sinned and fell from that spiritual life and now was dead in his sins and trespasses, he breathed life into my life by his Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Yes, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I'm just amazed in the love that Jesus has. He was the life, and that life was the light of man. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That light shined. As Ray Comfort said last week, like if you're in my bedroom and you open the window and the light shines through, you all of a sudden see a bunch of dust where you didn't see it when there was darkness. He's the revealer. And he brought spiritual truth. You see, John, he doesn't start with the genealogy of Jesus like the other Gospels would. He starts with the genealogy of Jesus way back in time. He's saying he's the very God, the very Creator, and he's the very one that will take away your sins. He's the one that's going to bring life into you. And oh, has he. And that's what we want to focus on, life, that word life. We find it clearly. But the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It could be translated, overtook it. This light shined in the darkness, but the darkness did not overtake it. Oh, it tried. Crucify him, crucify him, they screamed and yelled. Crucify him. And they crucified him. And the sky became dark at noon till 3 p.m. But you know what? It didn't remain dark. This darkness could not overcome the light of Christ. He resurrected from the dead, and he lives forevermore. And he called himself, he says, I am the light of the world. He says, my believers, they are the light of the world too. It says, let our light so shine among men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. He's the light of our hearts. You guys, let us just shine. But you see, those that don't know Jesus, that don't walk with Jesus, they don't understand this. I find it so real when I street witness. People just don't understand. I'm not trying to be a jerk to anybody. I'm just sharing the love with them of Christ. And men want to reject it. They say, I don't understand it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Their hearts are hard and they need to be broken. And you know what? As men didn't understand, there's a witness. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. First of all, the purpose is that every man would believe. That's what it says. John was a witness, a shining witness, as we are called to be witnesses of Jesus. You find John the Baptist always consumed with Jesus, always pointing to Jesus, always shining for Jesus, never saying, look at me. He's saying, look at Jesus. You Christians here tonight, me, myself, we need to look at Jesus. We need to point others to Jesus. Somebody comes to you with a problem. You don't got to figure it out. Point them to Jesus. Take him to the Father. Take him to Jesus Christ, the living God, the creator of all. Nothing was created apart from him. All things were created through him. He's the light of man. There's no way a man can know love, know life, know eternal life, have happiness, have a life filled with the power of God apart from Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And no man can get to the Father except through me. He's the access to that very life. And John there bears witness of his life. Now John, he just stood out in the wilderness. John was in the desert. He was just shining. He was just there. People came to see him. He was a man that would shine for Jesus. You see, we're called to be witnesses. Witnesses of the light of Christ. Let our light so shine. People would see our good works and they would glorify our Father. You guys, yeah, we need to go out and share, but everywhere we are, we should share with our life. It's called lifestyle evangelism. With our lifestyle, we must evangelize. We must just be a witness. Just don't worry about what man thinks, about what man says. Just be a witness for Jesus. Is he your life? Because if he is, his light will be in you. If Jesus is the light of your heart, the very life-breathing that moves you, you're going to shine. Jesus cannot indwell a man and have full authority of his life without being the light that shines through him. That you would glow, that there'd be something different about you. And it can't be done by just working it up. There's only one way. Spending time with the Father. Spending time in the Word of God. Apart from his word, you guys, I have no hope. Spending time meditating over the scriptures. You see, we have a problem in the church today. People say maybe about half the church isn't even saved because we find so much carnality, so much lukewarmness in the church. But I would argue with that. Maybe that's true of some, but I would say the majority of the people are people that have been born again and that have not cultivated the knowledge of God in their hearts, that have not got with the Lord and been filled with the Spirit, because it takes us cultivation. We need to feed off of the Lord and walk with Him because we're in a spiritual battle. These people probably believe in Christ. They love the Lord. Why would they come to church if they didn't? They are always saying, man, I'm struggling, this and that. Yes, they're struggling. They're in a war. But they don't have any strength and power behind them. You guys, we must get back to the grassroots. We must get back to simply searching the Scriptures and letting it take our heart. Being doers of the Word and walking in the power of God. You guys, I'm talking about a living God. I'm talking about the Creator of the world coming as a man and dying for me and you. There's definitely going to be a glow about somebody. There's definitely going to be a change of heart with somebody if they've met up with them. And if they're feeding off of them and if they know Him. Paul says, that I may know Him. He must know His Father. How can you serve a God you don't know? Do you know that God is so almighty and so powerful and His very Spirit, which is just as equal with Him, is living in you because the Spirit is He, as we'll learn here in John's Gospel. He's living in your very heart and He can move you and He's just big enough to create the world and He's living in you. Tell me a problem too big. Tell me something that He can't handle, that He can't take care of. Oh, there's no problem. There's no problem too big for my Father. When I'm looking at self, when I'm looking at people, when I'm looking at problems, they're all too big. But when I lift my eyes up and look at Jesus, nothing can stop me. There's nothing too big, you guys. Lift up your head today. Look up into the loving Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the life. He's the light unto my feet and the lamp unto my path. He's the lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. He's the one that's going to lead me and guide me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. He's the director when I lean on Him, fully surrender to Him, give it all up. My whole life is leaning Him. He's lifting me up. I've got no trust in myself or anything of me or people or things or circumstances. My trust is in the living God that's indwelling me. Yes, I can walk in victory. I can walk in freedom. I can walk in peace, joy, and happiness. He's the light of my life. And when you're doing that, He's going to shine so magnificently. He's going to shine so powerfully through you. It's going to be just guaranteed people are going to see you. You don't have to always come down on people and say, man, you got to get saved in this. They're just going to be coming to you. When you're at the gas station, you're pumping your gas, you're just, you know, smiling. And the guy comes up, he goes, how are you doing? Oh, great. The Lord's so good. He's been blessing my life. And the guy, you know, you just talk to him like he's one of your brothers. Hey, he's just like, whoa. But you aren't offending him, but you're showing, hey, it's great, yeah, praise God. And then questions start coming. You got a great chance to witness. Your friends, yeah, how you, oh, Smith somebody says, how you doing? I got a wide open door to preach the gospel. Doing great, man, the living God. He saved me and died for me. It blows me away. I fall continually. He keeps picking me up when I'm weak. I mean, He's right there. He does it all, everything. Oh yeah, it's just great. The guy's like, oh yeah. Either he's out of there. Either he's just gone. He's out of there. Or he's just like, whoa, dude, what happened to you? Dude, are you okay? Oh, I met the Lord. It's real. And see, it's not just, yeah, you need to get saved, man. John the Baptist, man, he was just preaching and just sharing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was laying it out clear. John the Baptist was the heaviest guy I've ever read about. He was just laying it down, but people were just coming on out. We'll talk more about John the Baptist as we get through the scriptures here. But it's just shining for the Lord because He's the light. John said this in verse 9. Oh no, I didn't read verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that's exactly what John did, as bearing witness as our life shine for the Lord. That was the true light, which gave light to every man who comes into the world. You see, John wasn't the light. He was simply bearing witness of the light. You guys, as it says there in the account of creation, God made one greater light and a lesser light. Jesus says he's the light of the world and so are we. You guys, as the moon reflects the brightness of the sun, so we should reflect the brightness of the sun. The Son of God, we should simply be reflecting his light. You see, that's exactly what needs to happen. That was the true light which gave light to every man. Jesus will reveal himself to every single man. He will show him he needs God. He needs to repent of his sins and he needs a Savior. It says in Romans chapter 1, by the creation he reveals himself. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, tell me that in our hearts we have a conviction that says either excuses us or accuses us. You see, it's him, and he reveals to every man. I don't think on Judgment Day somebody's going to stand before God and they're going to say, God, I never had a chance ever. It won't happen. Every man has been revealed to every man. And that's why John the Baptist came, to share this light, to shine this light. That's the duty of us, to shine the light. But it's not a light I've got to turn on and work up in me. The moon, it just shines. It just reflects. But it reflects the pure light. You see, when somebody's pure, it can reflect clearer. Listen, if you hold a diamond up in the air, you can see the reflection of the light right through it because it's pure. As we have pure hearts and are seeking the Lord, we are going to reflect our Father. The only thing that hinders the moon from reflection is the world. Eclipse, when the world gets in between the sun and the moon, absolute darkness. You guys, exactly what happens in our life. Absolute darkness when the world gets in between me and the Son of God. That is exactly what happens. And you guys, let us not live eclipses. Let us be full moons. Let us just reflect our Father and shine for him. He's so good. And let me tell you, you know when a person's spending time with the Lord. I'm not saying be a monk. I'm not saying, ooh, dude, and being legalistic and saying, dude, I gotta seek God and get away from me and I can't talk to nobody. Get me bread and water and I'll see you in a week. I mean, really, because we can go either way with the thing. I'm talking about what Jesus did. Jesus ministered to millions, ministered to the multitudes, but he took time to spend with his Father. Yes, sometimes even when the multitudes were there, he withdrew himself and went and spent time with his Father. Yes, I'm talking about spending time, and it's not a duty. Oh, I spend time with the living God of this world who loves me and died for me. He demonstrated his love for me. Yes, this is a blessing to my life. It's not a bummer. There's no greater place I'd rather be. For in his presence is fullness of joy. Yes, when I am reflecting him, you know. It's not something I get to make up. It's something that naturally happens from spending time with God. You guys, I can't tell you how important it is to know God's Word. And I'm not trying to lay down a trip on you. I don't want you to get guilty. But I'm telling you to start today. Study the Word of God, verse by verse. Take the Bible, study it, eat of it. It's living bread. It's the living bread. It's what will satisfy my very soul. You see, nothing satisfies me like the Word of God. As I'm studying this week, I'm just getting blown away. I can only simply worship. I'm studying. I break out in worship. Oh, God, you're living in me. What am I doing? Why do I waste time? Why don't I just let your light? I play with this sin or this sin. I let this darkness come in. Oh, God, send a laser beam through me right now. And I just find myself worshiping. I don't find myself condemned down on the carpet because I know my God. I know his grace. He loves me so deeply. And I find myself just worshiping him in his holiness and his righteousness because of the Trinity. Because the Father is so just and holy and righteous, so is the Son and so is the Holy Spirit. But as the Son emptied himself and became a man, and made that sacrifice that I now could look to my Father, and now as the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me in this life, how beautiful it is. How beautiful it is that the light has come into the world and it's revealed to every single man. And people either reject or receive. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him or recognize him. I wonder sometimes if Jesus came here, if Jesus came in this room, if Jesus walked up to you, if you would recognize him, if I would recognize him. Do we know our Father? You guys, let us be people that would recognize him. He came to the world. Oh, some did recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 11, he came to his own. The word own there means all of creation. And he did. He came to his own, down to this earth, what he made and created. Oh, nature knew who he was. No question about it. He tells the winds to be still, and they were still. Nature knew who he was. The only people that didn't know who he was these people called human beings that rejected him. You guys, the Pharisees came and says, tell your disciples to be quiet. Jesus says, well, if I tell them to be quiet, these rocks are going to cry out. I mean, nature itself would worship him. It says the trees of the field, they clap their hands. Nature itself will worship the Lord. But we so much won't. And isn't this true? Why? Because of darkness, because we're blinded. That's why John needs to bear witness of him. That's why we as being seen, we have been illuminated with this light. We need to shine and bear witness of Christ himself. He says, he came to his own all of creation, and his own did not receive him. Now some here would say, well, this means to the Jews, his own. And that could be true. And if that is true, that's just proving the deity of Christ even more. Because who was the Jews' own God? That was God Almighty. And if Jesus says, I came to my own and my own didn't receive me, if I came to the Jewish race and they didn't receive me, he's saying because I'm God and they didn't receive me. But the actual word in Greek means all of mankind. And you can interpret it either way. And I just choose to interpret what it means. And it can mean the other, it can apply there, no question about it. But he came to all of mankind, and they did not receive him. They did not recognize him. They did not receive him. That's why he sends the preacher. That's why he'll send us out to this world to let people understand so they can see. You guys, he came, and we'll see what this means in context. It means Jesus himself came to the world, and he was rejected and despised of man. He was the filth and the scum of the earth. You guys, Jesus Christ, he's done it. It says, but as many as received him, to them they gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed on his name. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. Let me say this. Apart from God's Holy Spirit doing a work, you cannot receive the Father. Apart from being illuminated by the life and the love of God, you have no way to get to the Father, but he came to every man and to those men who simply surrendered their wills. They received him. He gave them now the authority to become children of God. Have you received the Lord Jesus today? Have you given up your will to him, saying, you are my Lord and I will follow you? Have you been one of those people? They're like Thomas and says, my Lord and my God, and fallen at his feet and worshiped him. You might know he's God. You might say, Jesus, yeah, I believe he's God. You might say, yeah, apart from him, I cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But is he your Lord? For the Bible says that confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Yes, it's a heart thing. It's also an obedience of him being my Lord. But apart from him, I can't do it. We were going through Galatians, learning about the grace of God. Apart from grace, there's no way me or you could be saved. Yeah, but you see, he gave me the authority because he loves me. He revealed to every man and to whoever would just submit. I'm not saying would do anything. In fact, I can't repent apart from His grace. I've got no power within me. We found it in chapter 7 of Romans. To will is present with me, but how to do it I cannot find. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. And He said, you want me? Will you surrender? Submit to God and resist the devil? And cleanse your wicked hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and say, God, I see that You're holy, righteous, and just. I see that You're beautiful and gorgeous. Your creation is just blowing me away. I see that You came as a man, and I need Jesus. He's my fullness. This is all extra. My girlfriend, my boyfriend, my husband, my wife, my children, my job, my friends. It's extra. Jesus is my fullness. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God Almighty. He's the Creator of all. He did it all at Calvary. He's my God, and I love Him sincerely because in Him is all that I need. I don't need anything but Jesus. In His Word, He was the Word. In His Word I need. I need that. That's where my fullness will dwell. That's where my life is. I need to shine for Him. You see, when I receive His fullness, I'm a full moon. I'm shining and I'm illuminating this world with Jesus because I've been touched by the living God and it's nothing I've done. Because His grace is inexhaustible. His grace. Grace for grace. For grace. For grace, for grace, it keeps on going out into eternity. You can't find the end of it. It is amazing and I don't understand it, but let me tell you, I'm going to walk in it. I would be a fool to let anything stand in my way from walking with the living God. I would be a fool to let things and stuff and organizations and activities to stand in my way from spending time with God daily. I would be a fool to give up the most important thing in my life. I would be a simple fool not to cultivate the love of God in my heart, not to feed off of the Scriptures. It's Him, and He's the Word. And it's in Him I find my fullness, and His grace is so deep. When I sin, when I fall, when my heart condemns me, He's greater than my heart. He loves me. He proved it at Calvary. You see, there's no way you can say God doesn't love me. He proved it. I'm not walking just by, oh, well, I hope He loves me. In the end, when I show up, I hope I'm saved. Man, He did it. He sealed me by the third person of the Trinity, by the Holy Spirit. I was sealed for the day of redemption. It's Him I'm looking at. It's Him I'm going to put my life into, my time into, my heart into, and all that I am. You see, where your treasures are, there your heart is also. Is Jesus your treasure? For you see, where He is, that's where you'll be also. Where He is moving and working, that's where you'll be. Where He is in heaven and eternity, that's where you'll be. Where are your treasures? Are they in Jesus? He's the very fullness, and His grace is inexhaustible. It's full of glory. I love Jesus. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law. We might say the law is bad. The law brings and condemns. No, you guys, the law was a system to drive me to Christ. The law was a system that in the Old Testament, that I could come to God, that I could make sacrifices and get my sins covered, that I could come to God. The law came through Moses. It was temporary. It was there. But let me tell you, grace and truth came through Him who the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses and the law was good in its time. But man, I'm so glad I'm in the new age of the church. I'm so glad I'm in this dispensation of the church that I can walk in the fullness of God. I need no longer a law, but all I've got is grace and truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is full of grace, but we've got to follow His truth that we may know His grace, that we may be filled with His grace. It's His Word that is true. It's His Word that is living. He is truth, and there's none other that is true besides Him. Last verse, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The word seen there means to know. Back there in verse 1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was literally face to face with God, and God was the Word. No one has known the Father. No one has been the second person of the Trinity like Jesus.
No one's seen the Father truly at any time. So true, you might say, well, what about Jacob? Jacob wrestled with God, it said. He said it saw him face to face. No, that was Jesus Christ back there. If we read in context and study it out, we'll see it's the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus in the Old Testament coming down. That's a whole nother subject, but leave it up to Easy. He'll get to it in Genesis. You guys, study the Word of God. You'll see that no one has seen the Father at any time. Oh no. You see, all I know about God, I'm John the Baptist, I'm in the Old Testament, know nothing about Christ. Forget it. Right now you know nothing about Jesus. Think with me just for a moment. All I know is there's a God that created the world. Then He flooded the world. He's so big. The children of Israel, they were there. They were in captivity. He let them free. He parted the Red Sea. It's so big. It's so real. He's so almighty. He spoke out of clouds. He's so God. Moses came down from hanging out with the Lord, getting the Ten Commandments. He was glowing. This God, I don't understand Him personally. I understand He's God. And I'm fearful of Him. All I've seen was judgment. And I've seen radical things. But I've never met a personal God. And here comes Jesus. Here I am. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here I am. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. No one has seen Him at any time. No one has seen Him at any time. But the only begotten Son, who is where? In the bosom, in the heart of God. In the very heart of God. He hath declared Him. He has declared Him to us. Do you know what that means? That word declared means actually in a theological term, it's to exegete. It's to pull out and extract from the text. Jesus Christ can declare Him because He sees Him face to face, because He is Him. And He can show Him clearly to the world who God is. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Almighty Creator of the world. This is who we can have an intimate relationship with. You guys, it's so beautiful, it's so real. Will you receive it today by faith? Are you here tonight? Do you know the Lord I'm speaking of? I'm talking about a powerful God, a living God, who's very personal, and He came for me, and He died. For God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, are you a whosoever tonight, would believe in Him, they may have life everlasting. John says, I write these things that you may believe and you may have life in His name. This book was written. That's why we give this book to people that don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord in here tonight, I encourage you to take 2 hours of your time. Is it worth it? Is it worth eternity? Is it worth being filled with the fullness of God? And I encourage you to just read through the Gospel of John and see what's really in it. It's the living God. Do you know Him tonight intimately and personally? If you don't, I will give you an opportunity to receive Him. The Bible says surrender. Repent of your sins. Say, God, come to God as I did with sins that were so heavy. Jesus says, if you're heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me with your sin, with your guilt, with all that you've done in your life. You have not committed a sin too hard for the blood of Jesus to forgive. Confess your sins and He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from unrighteousness. Come to Him just as you are and He will forgive you. And you'll be blown away how He can give you the power, the authority to overcome these sins that you think are really holding you back from Him. Give it up. There's no reason to hold on. The only thing you are holding on to, if you would walk out of this room tonight, this building today, you can go out on the street, you could get hit by a car, I don't know, you could live your life, the rest of your life and die naturally, doesn't matter. The only thing you're holding on to is the eternal flames of hell. You're saying, no, I don't want heaven. I don't want to know the living God. I don't want to have my sins washed away. And I don't want to have life more abundantly. I'm fine and I can do it all by myself. And what you're holding on to is the flames of hell for eternity in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that what you're going to hold on tonight? See, I don't believe you, Tran. I don't believe you. All these people in this room have been touched by the living God. It's not a joke. It's reality. Every day I watch somebody else get touched and born again. The Bible says you must be born again. Maybe your mind doesn't understand what's that mean. I've seen it happen literally in front of me. I've seen somebody be born again. Changed from old to new. Be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Somebody that's desires were of this and of that and wickedness and garbage and God coming and touching their lives. And I've seen them be changed radically. If you knew me before, you know what happened to me. You knew my brother. You knew Mark Bright. You knew Easy. You knew Jimmy. We were all friends. We got born again. And this is what's happened from being born again. This isn't anything we've done. Mustered up in ourselves, man. I'm a worthless guy. According to talent and authority, I have none. I only stand here in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His blood and His grace. Receive the fullness of God. Get touched by Him. If there's any of you here tonight in this room that need to be touched by the living God, that need to have a new life set in you, that have maybe drifted away from the Lord, I want to encourage you when the worship starts to come forward and let us pray for you. You don't have to come forward. But are you serious about God? Are you fearing man? Are you too scared what man's going to think to get up out of your seat and to come forward? You don't have to. You can cry out. I cried out in my bedroom. But I'm telling you to make a stand for Jesus. Confess me before men, and I will confess you before my Father in heaven, Jesus said. And if there's any of you here tonight that are sick, that need prayer as Christians, come on down. We're going to pray for you because we know a living God. And I know my God can heal. My God can touch people's lives right where they are. Any of you struggling with your walks, come on down. Man, I know a living God. And let me tell you, I'll just point you to Him. I'll show you Him. He's full. He's full of all you need. I don't care what it is. He's full of it. He's full of whatever you need. He's the living God. Let's pray. Father, there's nothing more, Lord, that we need but just to realize what Your Word just said to us. God, I speak from my own heart. What else, Lord Jesus, but You? Father, to walk with You and to live for You, God, is all I need. I need Your fullness dwelling in me. I need to love You, Lord, and to worship You much more, Father. God, I pray right now for my friends here. You would touch them right where they are, Lord. I know You know them, Lord, better than they know themselves. You would fill them and You would bless them. You would show them new life, God, that they've never experienced. God, those Christians here tonight that are weak, that don't know Your Word, Father, that have been playing with the world, God, show them, Lord. Let them taste of the goodness of You. That, God, the world would become disgusting to them. Father, please. God, that they would have not even a desire for that world that brings them nothing but separation from You, Lord. No eclipse would happen, Father, but full illumination. God, I pray everybody in this room would be illuminated by Your Holy Spirit tonight, touched and filled. We want to thank You, Jesus, for Your Word. Lord, for preserving it through the years and for letting it be in our very hands today. But Lord, we want to ask forgiveness, Father, for not studying it. God, we want to lay aside those sins and those weights, God. Maybe not even sin, those things that would weigh us down. And we want to run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, because He is our fullness. God, I pray for that for every person here. Stir our hearts and move us, God, to walk with You in power. Father, not emotions, but a sincere obedience to the faith of Jesus Christ. We praise You, Lord Jesus, and we worship You. We bless You now. In Jesus' name, amen.